Hey, this is Laura.
And Steven.
And this is our podcast, Midday Musings, where we take our lunch break to talk about the things that are on our mind. Today, we're sharing our experience of A24's newest release, Civil War. Written and directed by Alex Garland and starring Kirsten Dunst and Nick Offerman, this film follows four combat journalists through the Civil War-torn southeast of the United States. You've never seen anything like this, and hopefully you never will again. Let's get into it. Well, hello, Steven.
Well, hello, Laura. I didn't see you there.
But here I am.
Wow.
Seen or unseen.
That's so surprising to me.
Good. I like it when I surprise you.
Surprises and delights me. But you don't like surprises. You're not a big fan of them yourself.
No. I like to surprise others.
That's fair. You're like, I am the surprise bringer. I am not the surprisee.
I am the surprise.
I am the surpriser.
How are you?
I'm doing well, man. I'm over here enjoying this, what is it, a Tuesday in our time frame? Well, Wednesday for y'all whenever you're listening to this. Having a good time. Again, just like we said in the last episode, just consuming so much good media these days. Like I am
a steady diet of deliciousness.
My brain is just having a great time these days. Yeah. What about you?
Oh, I am also feeling very good. I keep thinking back to the interview that we did a couple of days ago with Tyrants in Training.
Oh, yes. Tyrants in Training with Kevin Ryan from Ireland. It's such a fun episode and interview with him.
Yeah, such a fun interview, but such an incredible idea for how to interview people.
Yes.
So the idea is that you go on to his show and he will ask you questions about how you would run your own autocratic island nation.
Yeah.
And ever since that conversation, I've been thinking that all of my conversations are less interesting than asking people questions about how they would run their own autocratic island empire.
Dude, totally. I think that's a solid icebreaker. Like, all right, so we just met. If you were the king or whatever leader of a country, how would you run it? What would you do? What wouldn't you do? It's a great question to ask.
Yeah, like we had a conversation with one of our friends afterward, and we were just talking to each other about our lives, and I'm like, this is fine. But SB, how would you run your autocratic island empire?
Right?
Like, what would you disallow? What would you allow? Would there be a Congress? Tell me.
And especially, you know, if you've ever played any of those world building or city building games, anything from SimCity to Surviving Mars to Civilization 4 through whatever, you know what it's like to build a city, at least in a video game sense. It's so fun. It's so fun to try all the different ways to be the good dictator, to be the bad president, to be the chaotic anarchist that just lets things go crazy in the streets and everyone is, you know, under martial law. Like, it's just, it's a fun mental exercise. I feel like you really get to know people really well when you see what they do in that context or how they would run their own country.
Oh yeah, definitely. So look forward to that, guys. But speaking of autocrats, how about that president in Alex Garland's new film, Civil War?
Oh, yeah, that was quite a turn. The president in that movie, played by Nick Offerman, that was a fun play. Like, he's a bit of a wild card, and I think it really works for the movie. It works for the setting and the president that he's depicting. It's not a specific president, but he's just like a generally wild card type president. And what a ride that was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's a bad boy president, though, because we are told from conversations in the movie that he is on his third term.
Yep.
Big no-no for American presidents.
Huge breach of democracy.
It's one of our few rules.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big one. Pretty big one.
And he has been using state resources against citizens, which I interpreted to be against certain categories of citizens.
Mm. Oh, yeah. They're asking, like, he's bombed his own citizens, apparently, the president in this movie, Civil War.
Yeah. So that is the setting of the stage for Alex Garland's Civil War. It's the newest release from A24, an incredible movie studio.
Oh, yes.
And we saw it this last Friday. Huge fans. Highly recommend you see it. And just in general, Alex Garland is such an incredible filmmaker. So this is the guy who wrote 28 Days Later, Who wrote Sunshine, which no one has seen, but is another incredible Cillian Murphy movie with Rose Byrne. And pre-Captain America, Chris Evans, still being a hero. Definitely see it. The thing that he has written and directed you have heard of already, which is Ex Machina, Annihilation, Men, and now Civil War. It is, to my understanding, the top grossing A24 opening weekend that they've ever had. So good job.
Yeah.
Good job, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
And we follow four combat journalists through a dystopian Civil War-pocked wasteland. I've seen too much Fallout. We follow four combat journalists through the dystopian Civil War-ravaged America in pursuit of Washington, D.C., because they're trying to talk to the president before he is killed and deposed.
You know, you mentioned it being a wasteland and then you took it back, but it is very much like a wasteland. It is a war-torn, savaged land. Not a savage land, but a savaged land. It is torn apart.
Yeah, a bunch of disparate militaries/militias are working together to depose the president. The one that we're following is the Western Forces, and that's a coalition of the Californian and Texas armies. And like they are using military equipment commensurate with the American military. So it is a very large scale conflict.
Yeah, yeah. Like if I had to guess, I would say that the way this, again, just a guess of how this panned out, you have the actual U.S. active military and probably a lot of the reserve forces that are involved in that. On the pro, like, state side. And then you probably had, like, the National Guard and the Reserve for California and for Texas, because that's a huge state, right? And if you have all of that, if you have all of them together, they're also going to have all that military tech.
Well, possibly. The way I interpreted it is military members from those states probably came together in objection to what apparently is kind of an imperial presidency. Like if he's rolling into a third term and like looking for a fourth term, this man is a dictator.
Oh yeah, he's badass.
So we have a lot of military installations in California and Texas. So I assumed that they were insurgents, but we're still using the military tech from what were initially American installations.
Right, which totally makes sense.
That's just how I read it. But there is no certainty here. Like we're looking through the eyes of Reuters, the Reuters news source, to a photographer and a writer from Reuters, a writer-photographer from the New York Times, and then a scrappy little aspiring combat photographer that we meet in the first couple of minutes, who is taken under the wing of this Reuters photographer, played by an
haggard Kirsten Dunst.
Yes, a Kirsten Dunst who is done with your shenanigans.
Oh my gosh. If y'all have seen one of the latest Terminators where Sarah Connor comes back and is just a total like bamf and just done with everything, That's kind of Kirsten Dunst, but as like a combat journalist in this case. The dynamic between Kirsten Dunst and this scrappy photographer, I'm a huge fan of it, because this baby photographer, I call her baby because she can't be more than 16 years old, and she's going into what is basically a war zone to take pictures of what's happening, and Kirsten Dunst totally tries to keep her from joining. She's like, don't, like, you're not coming with us.
Yeah,
you're
she's like, girl, don't do it.
Don't do it. It's not worth it. The girl ends up hitching a ride anyway. And you see them observing the Civil War landscape as it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. The closer they get to the capital, to DC,
yeah,
to the front lines in Charlottesville, it just gets so, so bad.
Yeah, they're moving through the East. And the baby photographer we're talking about is Kaylee Spanny, who you may remember from Priscilla, the most recent Sofia Coppola movie.
Oh, nice.
Priscilla. She plays the eponymous character Priscilla, and she is here playing a scrappy photojournalist who is getting the ride of her life and the education of a lifetime, and ultimately the career-making photo of a lifetime. But we won't get into that. You get to see that in the film.
Oh yeah. But Laura, what I want to talk about is some of these war scenes. They're shot from perspectives I have never seen before.
Talk to me about it.
So typically in a war movie, which this is, it's a Civil War movie, you see it from the perspective of one side or another side. But in this case, you see it from the perspective of journalists who are doing their best to remain neutral. They're actually doing a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
So they're with a force, but they have no arms. They really don't have any power. And they're photographing some of the most gruesome things that are happening. And there's a certain point when you see them snap a photo and all of a sudden the frame will freeze and you'll see it in black and white to show you what the photo looked like. So it kind of pulls you out of the moment for a second. You just see this really gruesome, really scary scene in black and white, and it stops and it's quiet for a second. And then it goes back into the scene. And you see that happen a couple times. And it's really, it really shows you how the journalists, not only are they objective, but they're also detached from it. Like, they're seeing these things that if they knew these people, if they were on a side, it would probably be devastating for them. But what Kirsten Dunst told baby journalists going into it is that when you're out there, you cannot have any feeling about what's happening. You need to be completely cold, completely neutral. Otherwise, you will lose your head and bad things will happen to you. They're just like a fly on the wall of this war that is raging in America. And I love that.
And journalists occupy such an interesting position. I mean, in the world, honestly, they seem to be semi-protected by any side of the conflict because there is an assumed value to their documentation, right? Totally. Like, journalism is the fourth estate of society. They're documentarians of our history. And in all but the most extreme cases, you want them to survive. So you see military members like pulling them out of dangerous situations, pulling them alongside operations. It's almost like they're little cameras that happen to be attached to people that are being protected almost like a pet. But they get into the most interesting circumstances. They go through areas where there is no clear partisanship, but people are trying to kill each other. Where there's no clear chain of command, people are just trying to kill each other because it's a war and a war zone, and that puts people into a survivalist mindset. And then you see a certain town that appears untouched by the war, that is still going along according to the old rules of American society.
So, I love that little town.
Yeah, just this little suburb with a low to the ground downtown, one of those single-story downtowns. Stores are still open and selling goods.
No barricades.
And the people are like, we're just trying to stay out of the conflict. Based on everything we see on the news, it seems best.
Yeah, we're just here. We're just neutral. We don't really have a side.
But and independent people who have resources, like a gas station, is just looked over by four men with guns. And they're like hanging looters. And they're not accepting American currency because they consider American currency valueless.
Oh, yeah. Canadian currency is considered more valuable. That was
funny. Kirsten Dunst is like, hey, can I fill up and also get a couple of cans, 300? And they're like, 300 won't even buy you a sandwich. And then she's like, 300 Canadian. And they're like, all right, then.
And all the Canadians in the audience got a little Canadian flag waving in their heart. They're like, oh, yes, finally, we are.
Finally more valuable than an American dollar.
We are acknowledged in this moment.
Uh-huh.
But no, it's true. Like, in the event of a civil war in the U.S., Canadian dollars and probably even, like, Mexican dollars would be more valuable than, or Mexican pesos, sorry, would be more valuable than the currency of a war-torn civilization.
Oh, yeah, yeah. With the United States on the brink of one regime's collapse, their money doesn't really stand for much.
Right? Oh, and what I want to mention for a minute is the sound in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, folks, we saw this in a Dolby Atmos theater, which I don't believe I've done before. And I've definitely, if I have, I have not done it for a war movie. And I have a military background, not a long time, but enough to recognize what small arms fire sounds like. And from my recollection from 15 years ago, the sound of small arms fire, like the M16 A2 rifles firing, was really accurate to what I remember it being. It was a sound that you could almost feel, like it's a sound that hits you. You know, like it hurts your ears, but also hurts your face a little bit because it's just little tiny knives flying through the air, right? And so, like, if you see it, if you have the chance to see it in like an IMAX or Dolby Atmos, that is the way to see it. Like, it really felt accurate. Like, the military tech looked accurate. The sound of the weapons felt accurate. The different sides, the kind of the chaos of war also felt very accurate. Again, I'm fortunate to not have been in like an actual war zone, but my understanding is, like, when there's conflict, at a certain point, it's just people fighting other people. And it's not even clear at a certain point why they're fighting or who is on which side. It's just chaos.
It's true. It's true. And you see the visuals of this are so remarkable. We've seen war in so many different contexts. American cinema takes us through tons of different war zones, principally the Middle East and Europe.
Yeah.
But these are recognizably American environments, some of them iconically American environments. You see DC in a final battle. You see the White House compound surrounded by concrete barricading, which is just a wild thing to see, yeah, because we all know, I mean, most Americans have seen Pennsylvania Avenue. It is at best cordoned off by a small wrought iron fence. That's really, it's more aesthetic than anything else. So to see DC looking like the Berlin Wall, it's chilling. You see them fighting near the Lincoln Monument. You see it near the Washington Monument, the obelisk. You see modern military weaponry in context you can't imagine them in. Because we have the good fortune of being so geographically distant from any of our enemies that we would probably never experience a land war or even an air war. We're lucky to be in a situation where most of our military conflicts are done through proxies. Mm-hmm. So to see a civil war, to see these areas that have so much meaning to an American audience, delightful.
Mm-hmm.
Terrifying to some degree, but such a special cinematic experience.
Oh yeah, there's one scene that you reminded me of when they're standing in front of the Washington Monument, you know, the giant pillar in DC, and I think it's the Lincoln Memorial that they're facing, and someone pulls out an RPG and actually blows up the Lincoln Memorial because they're trying to fight.
Yeah, someone is shooting at them from the corner of the Lincoln Memorial.
There's a scuffle. Some forces are in the Lincoln Memorial. Some are trying to get them out. And someone just blows up part of the Lincoln Memorial. That hurt. That hurts so much.
I know.
To watch it happen.
Dude, it hurts so much to see, like, the Virginian countryside in the midst of a war. Because you're like, I've driven those roads.
Yeah.
Nothing happens on them. And nothing should ever happen on them.
Yeah. You're right, though. We are quite fortunate in that, like, it would be really hard for us to ever, you know, have someone engage us in a land war. But the place where we would be in trouble is if we did actually have a civil conflict.
No, right?
We're so big.
Dude, have, like, you ever... I've taken you to the theater on Main Street in Disneyland, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That speech by Lincoln is specifically addressing that. We have the good fortune of being protected on two sides by water, protected on two sides by allies who are extremely peaceful. Like, totally. Canada's totally chill with us. Mexico's totally chill with us. These people would never come for us in our current political configuration. And so the only way we could ever be taken down is from within.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so chilling. And also such an exciting intellectual exercise to see performed in cinema. It's also kind of fun because Alex Garland is English. Mm. So some of the stuff that he does in the film does feel like an English perspective.
Oh, interesting.
Like, so the English have been doing civil wars like every 200, 300 years.
Just to keep it regular, just to keep it
fun and flirty. So they have a very strong memory of a number of civil wars in their head. So they've got it during the Plantagenets. They have it during the War of the Roses. They have wars of succession a lot, which is why succession is such a huge topic in English royalty.
Makes sense.
And then they had that interregnum where the Puritans took over for 20 years that nobody likes to talk about. And now they're experiencing the longest period of peace in terms of inter-Anglo war that I know of on the British continent. So to see an English person take on the idea of civil war in the vast expanse of America, it's such a beautiful combination of artistic nodes.
Well, that's the thing about the United States. We are a land of extreme diversity. Like, we are a land of diversity. There are so many different groups and subgroups here, and we welcome everyone to come here from whatever group you're from, whatever political alignment, whatever you feel, just come, be American, live in our land, right? Like, that's kind of the perspective. And the other challenge with that is that because we have all these little pockets of of people, there's all these different subgroups that form, and sometimes subgroups don't like other subgroups. And if conflict were to arise into war, like, we'd be in a big amount of trouble because all these little subgroups would be fighting all these other little subgroups, and it would just be chaos. So hopefully it doesn't get to that.
Yeah. No, some of the different forces that were listed were wild to think about. Like, there were the Portland Maoists who were mentioned as a fighting force.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In the Civil War landscape. And you're like, oh, I don't want them to get to D.C. I think we just put them right back in Portland, right?
Right.
No, oh. Cultural revolution, please.
Oh, man. Do you remember the scene with, speaking of different perspectives, the scene with Jesse Plemons?
Oh, are you talking about the two U.S. soldiers who were...
doing stuff that U.S. soldiers should not be doing?
No, should we? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's spoilers, but I mean, it's not consequential. So they are just like hanging out by a mass grave of people they have clearly killed. And they do this questioning of the journalists that gives you kind of a window into the kind of America that you're fighting.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, you're Americans. What kind of American? You might remember this from the trailer. What kind of American? And so they have two white people, the kind of American that this American soldier identifies as American. And then you have a third journalist who is clearly an immigrant, and he's like, I'm from Florida, and he's like, and the soldier's like, Central America. And then two other journalists who are Asian American, and like, this is one of our few windows into what kind of America these insurrectionists are fighting. Mm-hmm. It seems that only the white native-born Americans from Colorado and Missouri are the acceptable kind.
Yeah.
And all of these other Americans are not true Americans.
Yeah.
And their lives are threatened as a result of this.
Yeah, and don't want to spoil too much, but yeah, Jesse Plemons, you've seen him before. He's the one in this scene doing the questioning, and he's also the only, him and his buddy are the only ones that have weapons at this point. They're questioning them, are, what kind of American are you? You've seen him in Love and Death. You've seen him in Breaking Bad. You've seen him a bit in Black Mirror. He's in that one episode where they're doing some futuristic VR tech, and I love to see him, and I sometimes feel bad for, like, the kind of roles he
Yeah, he's he gets. Typecast as a villain.
He's typecast as, like, just the worst kind of villain, too.
Yeah.
And, like, he seems like he's actually a pretty chill guy. It's just these roles he gets are so, they're so intense. He actually had some rose-tinted glasses.
That is a good call-out. He did have rose-tinted glasses on.
Yeah, but they were the kind that, if you've ever seen the cover of the movie Natural Born Killers from the early 90s, which is such a throwback, it's the kind of menacing rose-colored glasses, like round rose-colored glasses that the cover of that movie has. And I always, when I see them, I instantly distrust whoever wears them because they're like this bright red or rose-colored glass. Like, who are you? You are a violent person. I don't know if I can trust you.
No, not trustworthy, as it turns out.
Yeah.
Okay, so one thing to know about this movie is if you are an American who is disturbed by the potential for civil conflict in the contemporary United States, this is a safe movie for you. Mm-hmm. Nothing about the politics of this film is recognizable.
Yeah.
You can enjoy it. The other thing is you find yourself at the end of all of this traveling through the dystopian landscape of a Civil War-torn America. After seeing the players, you find yourself starting to root for the insurrectionists. You're like, yeah, no, get through the Washington, D.C. barricades. Dude, get rid of that president. This is no good. Mm-hmm. This is no good. So there's still the joy of watching a liberating force go through a war-torn environment. You can enjoy this if you're a middle-of-the-road moviegoer, is my opinion.
Totally. It kind of has that classic American plot structure where there are certain earmarks of the people that the journalists are traveling with that indicate these are the quote-unquote good guys, you know? I mean, everyone's killing everyone in this movie, but you can kind of see, oh, I see how these guys are a little better. They're better than the powers that are in charge in this version of America in the movie. And so you don't feel gross, you know, towards the end when you see, you know, the forces that the journalists are following, taking, you know, getting into Capitol Hill and securing the grounds. I had a bit of a different, like a nuanced perspective, because at a certain point I missed some key plot points, honestly. And because of that, I just kind of accepted, well, I'm just kind of the journalist side where I'm neutral to this conflict. I don't know why they're fighting. I just know that they are, and war is hell. All of this is terrible. I'm just kind of glad it's over at this point. Like, that was my perspective. So,
oh, which is a good perspective, yeah. Too. No, war is bad.
Yeah.
Try to avoid it at all costs.
Right? That's the thing that's really beautiful about this movie. Like, you and I talked about this after we watched it, and you noticed a couple key things that I kind of missed. And because of it, it was much more vague and ambiguous. And, like, I still enjoyed it, even though I missed some key plot points. So if you're middle-of-the-road moviegoer and you maybe miss some points every now and then, you'll still have a good time with it.
Yeah, and to be completely clear, it's not that you are rooting for anyone. It is you are experiencing the perspective of the journalists who are experiencing this war.
Yes, yes, yes.
You see things you've never seen on film before. You hang out in refugee camps, in hotels that are getting their lights and their Wi-Fi cut off because of systems interruptions as a result of the ongoing conflict. And you've never seen it in America. Mm-hmm. So go see it. It's unique.
Yeah.
And it is a wild ride. And these are great characters to follow. And now you have a new space in your brain where Nick Offerman is evil. Maybe he was already that for you.
Yeah. And the one last thing I'll say is Kirsten Dunst explicitly mentions at a certain point of this movie that she was a war photographer and she went overseas and took all of these pictures of war, of civil conflicts, as a warning to the U.S. to not do this. And they did it anyway. So she kind of starts losing her faith at a certain point.
Right, right.
But that call out is kind of, again, a call out to the American people of like, hey, don't do this.
That's what Alex Garland is doing.
Yes. Alex Garland is like, hey, America,
Don't do this.
Don't have a civil conflict. Just be chill. Like, talk your problems out, please, for the love of God, because it's bad. So, yeah, I loved it. Had a great time watching
it. Yeah, yeah. A part of me wants to sit everyone down and just be like, watch this. So so they can get, like, any insurrectionist feelings out.
Right?
And maybe, like, just write a letter.
Look, whatever disagreements you have with your neighbors or the government or your family or people that are different than you, you can work them out. You can talk them out. And it is way better than the alternative.
An RPG is never the answer.
Mm-mm. Nope. Mm-mm. Nope. Mm-mm. Although a tabletop RPG could be the answer.
A tabletop RPG is just good old-fashioned fun.
Right? Work out your anxieties. Work out your differences by playing a game where you fight each other in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that said, I love this movie. I know we've gone a bit over, but every minute of it was so enjoyable. So, folks, hope you had a good time talking with us about it, too.
Yeah, hope you check it out. Thank you so much for spending your lunch break with us. Have a good one.
This has been Steven.
And Laura.
Thanks for tuning into Midday Musings, the podcast where we talk about all the things on our mind. Be sure to follow us on Spotify and jump into the conversation in our polls and Q&As. We would love to hear from you. Catch you next lunch break.